Hey everybody, my name is Ike Shepherdson. Today we're going to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. I'd also just encourage you to do that. Open up to your Bible. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. It's towards the end of the Bible, after the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's before Galatians and Ephesians. And so it's just sort of in the last fifth or sixth of the Bible. I really recommend you to open a Bible right now. If you have one on your phone, do that. It'll help you to engage a little bit more. It'll help you to like actually stay mentally present during this time. Plus, it'll help you to mark places where you have questions and where you have concerns or where something doesn't make sense. At Hope Denver, we welcome the questioner and the skeptic. So make sure that you're doing yourself a favor and helping yourself to learn a little bit more as we spend some time together. Today is Pentecost Sunday. You know, it was in a time of great pain and uncertainty that Jesus' followers first experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had died, had risen, and had ascended into heaven, and he told his followers to wait in Jerusalem. What a time of difficulty and uncertainty for men who loved the rabbi, for women who loved this rabbi, who were followers of him. I'm sure that there was some confusion, disquiet, there was some anguish and some alarm. And tonight, on Pentecost Sunday, we remember in the middle of our disquiet, our alarm, our anguish, our grieving, we're remembering something that is so powerful and good. When Jesus' followers first saw the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you tonight about some of what you'll see when you see the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit tonight, the gifts of the Spirit. Here's what we're going to focus on this evening. We're going to focus on how God the Holy Spirit gives powerful gifts to his people for the common good. And tonight, I'm going to invite you to step out in your gifts at a time in our country where there is great pain and uncertainty, where there's great difficulty and sadness. We're going to read the Bible for a few minutes tonight, and I'll talk about it. But then a little bit later tonight, I'm going to talk about what happened in our country this week. And as I do that, I want you to know that I'm in a place where I want to be a listener. So if you have thoughts and you have questions and concerns, if you have something that I'm missing, I want to hear it. And so I just welcome you to do that. You can email me if you like, or we can set up time to talk. It's ike@hopedenver.com. But this is a time where we all need to process and learn and grieve. And of course, seek for a new kind of justice in our country. So let's take a time, just take a moment to pray, and then we'll read the Bible together. Lord, we humble ourselves today at a time in our country where there's so much grieving. We humble ourselves at a time where there's so much humiliation for persons of color, at a time where we cry out for justice. Jesus, we look to you today to speak to us. If you're open to that right now, friends, just say, Jesus, I'm open to hear from you. I want to learn something. I want to experience you. And we call out on none other than the name of Jesus Christ, and we put our hope in you. Amen. So tonight, we're going to talk about how God the Holy Spirit gives powerful gifts to his people for the common good. And I'm going to invite you to step out in your gifts at a time in our country where there is great pain and uncertainty. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is verse 1 and following, and it's the word of the Lord. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Paul wants to talk about how the Holy Spirit gives gifts to God's people. But these people, they had in their past allegiances to other gods. And it's key that Paul calls these gods mute. This is the key difference between the true and living God and the false gods of our culture. God speaks and God leads. God reveals and God counsels. The gods of our culture are mute. The gods of money and pleasure and fun, they merely amplify the thoughts of our inner hedonists. The god of independence, just amplifies the sound of our own selfishness. The God of white supremacy just amplifies the voices of human sinners. White supremacy doesn't have anything to say, ultimately. It's evil, but it doesn't have anything to say. It just amplifies the thoughts of human sinners. Now, the God of Scripture is the God who speaks and the God who shows. The God who speaks words of love and comfort to the person of color. The God who pronounces righteous judgment on those who misuse their power. He's the God who's promising to make all things new by identifying with the weak and the broken. Let's look at verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, or no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, a common objection to Christianity that I've heard is that Christian miracle claims are fine, but there are adherents of other religions who experience miracles as well. And I would agree, this should be expected. We live in a supernatural universe. We live in a universe where it's not just physical things. That's the myth of naturalism. But in a supernatural universe, we should expect that there will be supernatural beings doing supernatural things all the time. This should be expected. But the difference is that when you see the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit does, you'll always see a confession that Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit is always trying to draw people's attention to the true and living God. Now, there are charlatans who talk about God. There are phonies and there are other powers. But followers of Jesus, they confess Jesus as Lord only. They don't confess Jesus plus wealth or Jesus plus blind patriotism or Jesus plus comfort. When you have the Holy Spirit, you confess Jesus as Lord. And the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit always bring recognition to Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. What we should expect as followers of Jesus is that we should expect to see diversity in the family of God. We should expect to see things looking differently among different peoples. On one level, God brings oneness and unity out of diversity. And this is really true. See, the Bible says that there's neither slave nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. But on another level, Jesus doesn't abrogate your uniqueness. He doesn't cancel your culture, right? Jesus, he doesn't get rid of your individuality or your race. In fact, God celebrates diversity. And the Bible says that it was from one man that God made all of the nations of the earth. God loves diversity. So in God's family, there is one Holy Spirit. But there are diverse ways in which that Holy Spirit works. There's diverse ways in which that one Spirit strengthens us and builds us up. See, all followers of Jesus have that one Holy Spirit, but there are different kinds of gifts that work in God's people. Let's look at verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The common good. That phrase should stick out to you a little bit. The Spirit is given for the common good. Why does God give us gifts of the Holy Spirit? It's for the sake of the common good. It's not to do tricks in church. This is good for God's family, and it's good for those who are not yet a part of God's family. If you look back in the Old Testament, in the earliest Hebrew scriptures, there was always this sense that God was on a mission to bless all nations on the earth. This is what God said to Abraham when God first met that great hero of faith. God said that all peoples, all nations will be blessed through your family. God was always having this universal mission in mind, not canceling the uniqueness of each culture, but extending his mission to every tribe and tongue, every color, every person. All are welcome in God's family. See, God isn't just doing little things for his people. God wants to do big things and little things for all peoples. God said to Abraham that through his family, all nations would be blessed. Now in Jesus, you see that Jesus has inaugurated a movement of justice and peace and blessing and freedom through his death and resurrection. In Jesus, you see the culmination of this Old Testament promise that Jesus is going to bring a new kind of justice and blessing to this world. And this justice and blessing, it'll be completed at the last day when Jesus returns and when he consummates his kingdom that will have no end. And he's proven that he'll do this by rising from the dead. But in the meantime, for you and for me, we have the Holy Spirit for the sake of the common good. We have the Holy Spirit in us for the sake of the common good. And that common good is in the church and in the world. It's for everybody. God wants to use us in this moment to bring about the common good in the church and in the world. And we do that not by our own intellect, not by our own ability, but through spiritual gifts that come by the Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, you and I need the Holy Spirit. In our world and in our country, we need the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 8. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are at work, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Let's take a look at these. This list is not exhaustive. You should know that. There are many lists of gifts in the Bible. Well, let's take a look at these because these are actually represented by people who are a part of our church family. And God might want to show you tonight how to recognize these gifts in yourself and how you can use these for the common good. Let's talk about a message of wisdom. That's the first one that's mentioned. This is where someone gives some kind of counsel or perspective or direction or plan that is wise beyond their natural ability. This kind of wisdom points to the gospel message of Jesus, his kingdom, and his authority. But it's a kind of wisdom that's supernatural. The second one that's mentioned here is a message of knowledge. This is accurate teaching from the Bible. That's part of it, accurate teaching from the Bible. But this person may also have a supernatural ability to know things that they would have no business knowing otherwise. Often, if you operate in this message of knowledge, you'll feel a strong conviction that God wants you to know something, and that maybe even he wants you to share what you know with somebody else. Often it will be knowledge that somebody else is having a challenge or a problem. It's typically paired with a message of hope, though. It's typically paired with a message of God seeing that person in the middle of their difficulty. This one is actually really exciting. This is one where you have the supernatural ability to know something about somebody else that you would have no business knowing, and God will use that to draw that person to a new hopeful place in their life. It often means that you need to be bold, but it definitely means that you'll have a message that's hopeful for that person. It also includes teaching and instructing people well. It also mentions the gift of faith, that God gives people the gift of faith. This isn't blind belief, but it is an extraordinary kind of trust. This person has the ability to hear what God says and boldly step out in faith. This person prays big prayers. If you have the gift of faith, you pray big prayers, and we need people praying big prayers right now. The gift of healing. This is where God uses somebody to pray for somebody else who is physically or emotionally unwell. And that person then receives substantial physical, emotional, or mental healing. We've actually seen this in our church family this year, where we prayed for one of our dear sisters, Amanda, and she had miraculous physical healing. So we believe that this happens still. This is healing. Miraculous powers, it mentions next. These would be other kinds of miracles. If you look at the way that Jesus lived his life, Jesus often had different kinds of miracles that he would work, like when he multiplied the loaves and fish, or when he turned water into wine. We believe that these are still active today. The next one mentioned is distinguishing between spirits. This is where one has the ability to recognize when someone is prophesying accurately. When this happens, somebody will typically be saying that they're speaking for God, or that they have some authority, or that their message is true. And the person with this gift of distinguishing between spirits is able to recognize the real thing from a counterfeit. They're able to recognize that's just earthly wisdom, or that's not from God, or they're able to recognize, yeah, that's from God. These people are incredibly important to have around. We need to be able to know that when somebody speaks with authority, whether or not they're speaking from Jesus, or if it's themselves, or if it's some other supernatural power that they're speaking from. It also mentions tongues in this passage. This is where somebody will give a prophecy, that is a message from God, in a language that they don't know. And if you're confused, I did just say that. It would be that somebody is speaking in a language that they don't know. That is that they have some kind of mental picture of syllables and phrases that they don't understand. The way that this feels like is actually, it's a lot like that. You'll have sort of a mental sense that there are some words that need to come out of your mouth, and you won't know what those words mean. They may look like syllables or look like word fragments, and you just need to say them. It could be a very short message of tongues, or it could be a little bit longer. With this person, you need a little bit of courage. You need the ability to open your mouth, and it's going to sound funny to you. It'll sound funny to your listeners as well. And it's okay that it sounds a little strange. So you need a little bit of courage to open your mouth and to actually say those syllables that are in your mind. The last one that's mentioned in this passage is the gift of interpretation. This is where you're able to hear somebody doing what sounds a little crazy with speaking in tongues, and you're able to hear that and say, oh, here's what that means in our native language, whatever the language is that people are speaking. So that person also needs courage, because what happens is that you'll hear somebody speaking in another language, and you'll have the sense from God that here's what you need to tell everybody now. And it feels like a prophecy, but you're really just interpreting what somebody else has said. So I want to give you a little practical advice as you read through this, as you think about these. How do you deal with a list that includes some things which seem maybe a little bit more normal, like wisdom or faith, and things that seem extraordinary, like a message of knowledge or healing or tongues and interpretation? How do you bring that into your everyday life? Here's some advice. And this is good advice for all of us. Be open to God doing something new in your life. Be open to the fact that God might want to do something in you that's different and uncomfortable. Now, you don't own your giftings, but God uses you to do his work if you're willing. If you're willing, you can use the Holy Spirit's gifts for the common good. So you just have to be open. And even if you're a little bit skeptical right now as you're listening to me, I would still challenge you. Be open. You don't have to take what I say, but be open to God. Have your heart in a place where you're willing to say, God, this might look differently than how I'm expecting it to look. Maybe God will speak something to you if you're open to him. I would also say, in terms of advice, spiritual gifts are like learning a new skill. They're a lot like learning how to do something new. It takes practice. When I started making cocktails, and maybe I've offended some people already, I like to make craft cocktails. When I started doing that, I was really bad at it, and I had to be really careful as I measured the ingredients out. But now it's a little bit like second nature. When I make a drink, it's really easy and it just kind of comes quickly. When I used to run, running a half mile was like my worst nightmare. I couldn't stand running. But now running 4 miles is easy. It's just part of my life and it's easy for me. I've practiced it enough to where it's not that hard anymore. So practice these. Don't get discouraged with these kinds of things, but be willing to step out in a new way. You'll get more confident over time, and that's key. You'll get more confident as you try these things out. And I want you to think about it that way. Think about it as trying it out. It doesn't have to be perfect, and you might make mistakes. You might do something and be like, that wasn't right. You might open up your mouth and say something and it doesn't come off quite right. Just say you're sorry, and if you're in a family of people who are welcoming and encouraging, you're gonna be fine. At Hope Denver, we're welcoming and encouraging with this stuff. So try it out, and it'll feel uncomfortable, but keep going. And I wanna have a challenge to Hope groups this week. If you're a part of a Hope group at Hope Denver, I would like to challenge you that as you meet over the next 2 weeks, I would like to challenge you to try these things out together. When you meet, please open back up to 1 Corinthians 12 and read over these and try these out. See if any of these sound like you. And then try saying something. Try having faith. See if God wants to raise up new faith in you. If somebody needs healing, pray for that person and ask God to heal them physically. That's my challenge for Hope Group leaders. Try to start to self-identify in your groups and tell others that you see these gifts in them. That can be huge. If you can tell somebody else, I see this gift in you. My dad did that to me when I was a little boy. He said, I think you have the gift of distinguishing between spirits. He told me that when I was little, and so I tried to start using it. And that's a really good thing if you see that in somebody else. So hopefully that's a little practical advice for you. I'd like to challenge you in your Hope groups over the next 2 weeks to try these out. Now, as I close today, I want to talk about what happened in our country this week. This week, George Floyd was murdered. His name was George Perry Floyd, and he was a 46-year-old African-American man from Houston. He was survived by loving family members, brothers and a sister. He had two daughters. He loved music. George Floyd loved his church. He loved to serve at his church. Now, I learned about George Floyd because I saw a horrifying video. But for Black Americans, sadly, the life of George Floyd is just one more example of the horrifying existence that they often have in our culture because of institutional racism. It's part of everyday life. In our country, we have a national sin in our country. It's racism. It's perpetuated in systems of injustice, and it's perpetuated in the hearts of those who are powerful and use their power against the weak. It's perpetuated whenever people simply assume that Black or brown people are the cause of their own suffering. George Floyd is dead, and we need to repent of our national sin. People who are part of God's family need to turn to God and ask for him to forgive us and heal us because of our national sin. The people of God have a unique place in this. We need to repent of our own racism, of the racism in the Christian church. We need to repent for this country's historic institutions like slavery and Jim Crow. And we need to be the voice of the prophet that calls sin, sin. We need to call it what it is. Racism is a sin. Now, people don't like the word sin, and people don't like the word repent. And I'm aware of that. Repent sounds like a judgmental command. And I want you to know that I don't have any judgment for any of you, for anybody. I don't have any judgment for anyone. I'm not in a place to command you to do anything either. But the Holy Spirit has a place of judgment. The Holy Spirit cuts right to the heart of human motivation, and the Holy Spirit sees all of our actions and all of our attitudes. And the Holy Spirit can offer a just conviction of sin. And the Holy Spirit is in the right place to offer a command as well. And so God's Spirit gets to tell us that it's time to repent of our sin. And here's the thing. You and I should expect that nothing in our culture will change without repentance, followed by divine healing. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be political activists. We should. But the myth of progress is exposed as a lie every time a black man is lynched in this country. The world is not becoming a better place on its own. Progress is a false narrative. It's a lie. Now, what repentance does is repentance puts us in a place to receive forgiveness for our sins because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The finished work of Jesus Christ on the Jesus' death on the cross puts us in a place to die to our own sins so that the old ways of injustice in us are gone. Now, the resurrection of Jesus puts us in the place to rise to newness of life, where our eyes are opened to a new way to be human. Now, Jesus' ascension into heaven, this means that God is listening to every cry that we have against injustice. God is listening as we cry out in prayer against injustice. And Jesus' sending of the Holy Spirit puts us in the place of now having God's presence living in us to help us to live rightly and to be voices of reconciliation in our culture. What you and I need most, and what our country needs most right now, is to repent at the feet of Jesus. We have a national sin, and we need to repent. So here's my challenge to you and to myself. Here's the challenge. Talk about racism. Talk about implicit bias, which is a different kind of racism. Talk about these things. Support peaceful protests and demand political reform. Talk to your children about race. Read and watch the stories of persons of color who've been targeted by racist policing or other injustices. Listen to them and pray that God opens your heart. Give to organizations like Open Door Ministries here in Denver. Open Door Ministries, you can see the place to donate here. Give to this. They look to address the root causes of poverty and injustice. I challenge you to give to that. Do that as soon as you're able. And if you're white like me, talk a little bit less and listen a lot more. Listen a lot more. Ask God to show you the places in your heart where you need repentance and healing, the places where you need to change. Ask God to show you. You may even think that you don't have anything that needs to change. Maybe you would say, I'm not a racist, but maybe God would show you that you've been operating with some implicit bias. God can show that to you. I'm not trying to heap more judgment on you, but ask God if there's something in you that he needs to expose, ask him to do that. Ask him to use you and ask him to use those gifts for the common good. Now, I want to spend some time in prayer, but I want you to know that if you wouldn't consider yourself a follower of Jesus, you should know that God is not mad at you. He has compassion on you. He loves you. He welcomes you to open your heart to him. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I would welcome you to do that now. God wants you to open up your heart to Jesus right now. And he'll help you to repent and he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. But for us right now, I would like you to do something that is a little bit different for this sort of virtual church that we're in. I'm going to do it too. Wherever you are, would you get down on your knees right now? And I'm going to do this. This would be a little bit awkward, but I'm going to just move my computer a little bit. Get down on your knees. If you're listening to this on the podcast, wherever you are, maybe pull over to the side of the road or wherever you are, just maybe bow your head and take a minute, and we're going to repent together for our national sin of racism. We're going to take some time to lament the fact that Black Lives Matter, and a lot of people don't know that, and our country is broken. Let's bow our heads and let's repent. God, we ask for you to forgive our sin and heal our land. In our country, we have cultural ways of thinking and acting which have been hurting people for centuries. In ourselves, we may notice implicit bias. I've noticed that in myself. Forgive me, God. Forgive us, Lord. We repent. We turn away from those old ways of thinking and acting, and we turn to you. We pray, God, that you would send to us godly leaders who will help to reform our systems of justice in this country. Lord, we pray that you would help us to change our hearts. Do it with the Holy Spirit's power in us. Forgive the sin of our country and heal our land. Draw everyone to you, Jesus, the one who reconciles us, who makes us right with God. And forgive us. We pray for your comfort for those who don't look like me, for Black Americans. We ask for you to bring your comfort and healing and presence to them. God, we pray for George Floyd's family. Bring your peace and comfort to them. We ask for you to be the one that heals our land through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, friends, I'd like you to do something wherever you are. I'd like you to do something right now that I think is actually really important. We've been kind of bowing our heads. I'd like you to just raise them up, not pridefully. But I want to tell you who you are. You, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are an ambassador of hope. You are somebody that everywhere that you walk, you have the ability to bring the hope of Jesus to those who have little or no hope in their lives. I want to tell you that because God wants to use you to be ambassadors of hope in Denver, in your sphere of influence, and the people that you know, for people who are followers of Jesus and people who are not yet followers of Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit in you. So friends, let's receive that Holy Spirit now. Let's just receive him. Say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. This week, Lord, I pray that you would please use me to be a conduit of your hope. Help me to listen and not talk so much. Help me to give and to be generous. Help me to open my eyes to racism in the world around me and even maybe in myself. Lord, I pray that you use us this week. Help us to be ambassadors of hope in Jesus' name. Friends, this week, despite the awful things that are happening in our world, you can be an ambassador of hope. And this means that you're not defeated. This means that you're not one to have to hang your head in shame. You don't need to have guilt. If you turn your life to Jesus, he'll free you of all of your guilt and all of your shame. And he'll help you to be an ambassador of hope to people around you. And I want to encourage you this week, go out with a message of hope and do it in Jesus' name. Now, as we close tonight, I'd like to just pray one more benediction on you. And then we're going to go into, for those of you who are on the Zoom call, to a parlor chat. So we're just going to have a time to talk. But I'll pray this blessing on you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray that you bless your dear children. Fill them with the Holy Spirit and give them hope this week. And may in everything that we do, may we work for the common good and give glory to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.